Yes. And finally, we are here. Welcome back to Teep This American Muay Thai. This is the Teep This podcast, episode number 4, No Excuses. That is the title of the podcast, and that is the motto of this Muay Thai life. So I do make it a point to release my podcasts each month on the first day of the month at 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific Standard Time. I missed that deadline for the first, and I'll tell you the last time this month. I have two very special guests. I caught up with amateur Muay Thai sensation, super welterweight Lance Dixon, fighting out of Robot Fight and Fitness here in West Los Angeles. This month, I also connected with the tireless Miss Jamie Bradley. Jamie Bradley is a Muay Thai trainer, fitness coach, and gym owner working in the Midwestern United States. Her roster of fighters includes none other than the colorful and exciting Jason Yayo Berdugo. I became an instant fan of Yayo's when I first saw him and Julio Pena go at it at Lion Fight 24. I think that was last year. Jamie talks to me about working with Yayo, training fighters and non-fighters in the Midwest versus out on the coasts, how she became a coach, and her own challenges with weight and injuries. She is a super motivating individual. She works super hard for Muay Thai, for her students and her fighters, and she has some very cool experiences to share, as well as some cool fight experiences going on through her Midwest Striking series and her collaboration with the Farang Fight League. Farang Fight League, what a great name that is. That is a very cool name. So strap in and get ready for that conversation. First up, we'll get into the conversation with Lance, and then we'll jump into Jamie's conversation. But before we get into any of that, let's get into what's going on in and around the world of Muay Thai. Muay Thai has been recognized as an Olympic sport by the International Olympic Committee, granting the combat sport of Muay Thai provisional Olympic status. Now, provisional status means that the sport has yet to be actually included in the next Olympic Games scheduled for 2020. But the sport can now petition for full inclusion somewhere between now and the next 3 years. It's never a straight line to acceptance when something is new and emerging. And albeit Muay Thai has been arguably around for 2,000 years or more, it's only recently touched down on American soil, and it's got its fair share of challenges to traverse. So for me, as a diehard Muay Thai fan, I don't care if America adopts it or not. I just love the sport and its culture and its community, and I love it for its authenticity. So I'll always remain with Muay Thai because there's no room for anything else when the techniques start to fly. So you can learn more about Muay Thai heading into the Olympics by visiting the USMF website or their Facebook page and following them on Instagram to really keep up with everything that's happening around our mission of building our first Team USA Muay Thai team and all the international competitions that can ultimately lead to Muay Thai in the 2020 Games. So go to UnitedStatesMuayThaiFederation.org, and of course I'll have links for you in the blog post and the podcast description, along with a few articles that shed even more light on this entire topic. In other news, Natalie Killface Morgan, one of my favorite fighters, she is over in Thailand competing in the Muay Thai Angels Tournament in Bangkok. And I and the rest of the Muay Thai community, at least here on the left coast, we are simply ecstatic over Natalie Morgan's recent win over China's Sun Jing in the first round of that tournament. She won that fight in a highlight reel fashion with a perfectly timed and perfectly placed reverse spinning elbow. And she faces Maria Lobo next in round 2 of that tournament. So go to facebook.com/Muay Thai Angels and follow that page to keep up with the happenings on that tournament. There's also a great write-up on the tournament from the folks at Vice on their Fightland blog. So I'll post a link to that article in the blog post as well and in the podcast description. Lion Fight 36 is back on the East Coast in Mashantucket, Connecticut on Friday, April 28th. That fight will air live on Axis TV, and it appears that Lion Fight and Axis have re-signed a multi-year broadcast agreement, so Lion Fight on your television screen is not going away anytime soon, and Muay Thai is definitely still on the move here in the USA, and a gang of my favorite fighters are on this card, and I really, really cannot wait to see this contest go down. Sergio Wilson is back, and he and Lerdzilla will compete for the Lion Fight lightweight belt that Wilson has successfully defended once already. Lerdzilla is a very crafty master of the art, and I am really stoked to see this one. Brett Havlicek goes up against one of my all-time favorites, Paul Banaschek, a.k.a. The Reaper. Now, I've been a fan of Banaschek for as long as I've been into Muay Thai. I've been a longtime follower of his articles and his videos and podcasts at MuayThaiAthlete.com. He is a Muay Thai purist in every sense of the word. Banaschik has been living and training and fighting in Thailand recently, and he's from Connecticut, so that's his backyard. So he's going to be a tough fighter to face. Havlicek is surely a tough one as well. He is out of the Watt in New York, which I'm also a huge fan of. The Watt is home to crew Phil Nurse, who I'm dying to speak with in an immediate future podcast. I'm going to reach out to him. I hope that he takes my offer to come on the podcast and talk to us when it does come. I first saw Phil Nurse in a video online, just touch sparring with Senchai during Senchai's recent visit to the U.S. on the Yakao tour that just happened. I also recently saw Phil Nurse pop up in an MMA documentary entitled The Hurt Business, and I've seen Brett Havlicek fight before online fight, and he's a warrior for certain. So Havlicek and Banaschik, I'm hoping that to be the fight of the night. I can't wait to see that. And then there's Eddie Abasolo and PJ Sueda, these middleweights going head-to-head. I've seen Abasolo fight here in LA as well, so I know his aggression. He's very technical. But the thing for me about this matchup is that they're both brawlers. So both super tough guys. There could definitely be some fireworks to mention when this fight goes down. That's Eddie Abasolo and PJ Sueda. It's a great card, Lion Fight 36. Lion Fight always continues to deliver the best and brightest that there is to deliver in American Muay Thai. Saturday, April 29th is a big fight night here in the U.S. Here on the left coast, WCK Full Rules Muay Thai is back with Cali 20 Beast Mode. It's a big card. Everyone in town is looking forward to showing up for this one. Selena Flores defends her IAMTF atomweight belt against Ariana Pink Lady Gomez. Pink Lady Gomez is a treasure here in West Coast Muay Thai. She's been around for a while. She's held many, many belts, and she's just a fierce, fierce fighter, super experienced, super colorful, brilliant, smart woman. Can't wait to see this fight go down between rising star Selena Flores and established star Ariana Gomez. Everyone's looking forward to that fight. My boys Evan Bolton and Caleb Cisneros are scheduled to go at it. If styles make fights, then this is going to be a good one with Evan's super long reach and Caleb's movement. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that one. April Vergara versus Susan Wallace. I'm a huge April Vergara fan. I always have been, always will be. She always delivers when she throws down. Super aggressive. I can't wait to see April back in the ring, and it's going to be a great fight. Lorenzo Orozco Jr. and Nathan Escamilla go head-to-head. Lorenzo Orozco Jr. is one of my favorite young superstar fighters. I train with him quite often over at Team Victory Muay Thai here in Inglewood, California. I think Lorenzo is still currently undefeated, so he's definitely one to watch. Super strong kid, great technique. He works his ass off constantly, training his body, pushing his technique, sparring, helping others around the gym. He's a super bright star, great guy to watch. I wish them both good luck. And it looks like Jeannie Nguyen of the Thai Boxing Institute will not be competing. She was slated to fight Justine Ronis, but Jeannie is out due to an injury. So we're sending good healing vibes to Jeannie. I was really looking forward to seeing her get down, but I'm sure that will happen soon enough. Also on April 29th, the CXF Cage is back with Locked and Loaded at the Sportsman's Lounge in Studio City. It's a tough night because that card is packed with friends and favorite fighters. Tarian Ware fights Jared Papazian. Chase Gibson is on the card against Sarah Benassian. Mike Jasper defends his belt, and Mike Jasper also fights in the Muay Thai ring as well as the MMA cage. And every time I've seen Jasper fight, it's always been something to remember. So that's going to be a great night of MMA. Me, myself, I know that I will be at WCK's Cali 20 at the Burbank Marriott, because I'm just a Muay Thai freak and no one does Muay Thai like WCK Muay Thai, so that's where I will be. And speaking of Muay Thai, our friends in the Midwest, the Farang Fight League and Midwest Striking Series, they present Full Rules Muay Thai at the Sports Zone in Indianapolis, Indiana. That fight card will attract fighters from all around the Midwestern United States, and I'm really stoked to catch one of their fights whenever I am back home in the Midwest this summer. But if you're in that part of the country now and interested in catching that fight, you can go to sportzoneindy.com for details. There will, of course, be links to all of the fights that I just mentioned in the blog post at teepthis.com and in the podcast description in your respective podcast players. Yo, so before we get into the conversations, do remember to check the blog post for our streaming links. We are available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. So please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review when and wherever you can. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And if you have any questions or podcast topics that you'd like to suggest, just hit the website and leave your question or feedback in the comments section. Or you can send an email directly to me at yo@teepthis.com. That email address again is yo@teepthis.com. So without further ado, let's jump into our first conversation with Lance Dixon, welterweight amateur Muay Thai sensation. Let's jump into the podcast.
What's up, man?
There he is, Lance Dixon himself.
Hey.
You ready to get down?
I'm ready, man.
Good stuff, man. It's good stuff. So, man, my life is good. I cannot complain. Worked hard all day and then had a great night at the gym and just had some salmon and some broccoli and about to talk to Lance Dixon.
Awesome, man. Dead. Training hard, eating good.
What happened to your finger, bro?
Oh, man. So I was making some dinner with the girlfriend, and I was cutting up some garlic, some onions, and I just hacked off the end of my finger right now.
Oh, man.
And I think it's going to be okay.
You're able to put, like, stick the flesh back on it, right?
You didn't, like, yeah. We got all this stuff. We got all this stuff to stop the bleeding. God, I hope I could use a stitch or two. It's pretty bad, but we'll be okay.
Yeah, man, this has been a long time coming for me. I just started back over at Robot not too long ago, just on their mornings and their afternoons.
Oh, right on.
But, man, you know, everybody over there is always like, oh, you should spar with Lance. Have you met Lance? No, I haven't met Lance. And I finally got a chance to see you for the first time. I got to see you fight Christian Hernandez at Cali 19.
Yeah, yeah.
Great fight. Got some great photographs. The great knockout. But before we get into it, let's start it off with why don't you just please introduce yourself, because I like people to introduce themselves in their own words. Just tell us what it is, who you are, and exactly what you do.
Sure, yeah. My name is Lance Dixon, obviously. I'm originally from Los Angeles, over here fighting at Out of Robot Fight Fitness. You know, I've been in Venice for about 8 years now, the Venice area. Mm-hmm. Looking to go pro pretty soon, and, you know, fighting's my life. And
that's interesting. Fighting's your life. I mean, how old are you, bro?
I'm 26 right now.
You're 26. How long have you been fighting and training?
So I've been fighting about 4 years. Been training for closer to six.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of just stumbled into Robot Fight Fitness. I didn't even know what Muay Thai was at the time. Mm-hmm. When I kind of just walked into Robot, you know, I'd always been into boxing in high school. We'd have, like, you know, backyard boxing, drunken boxing fights and stuff like that, you know, and
wow.
I was always super drawn to it. And, you know, I started, you know, I was doing pretty well. So, at one point I always thought, you know, I really want to see how good I could get at this. And yeah, this was about the time, I was about 20 years old when I started. Mm-hmm. It's about the time that the UFC started getting really popular. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, I might as well learn how to, you know, throw some kicks and learn some other stuff besides, you know, just hands. Mm-hmm. And never really got into jiu-jitsu. Was always super drawn to the stand-up fighting. And so, you know, my kicks were horrible when I started. Never used my legs for anything, you know. Mm-hmm. Athlete growing up, but mostly hand things, and you know, I liked it a lot.
Was Robot the only? Was that your very first experience? Was Robot, or did you have, like, another? Was there, like, a journey before you got to Robot?
Yeah, no, that was the only legitimate gym that I've ever been to, and I've just stuck with it ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, David Huerta wasn't actually there when I first started training, and I didn't even start fighting until he showed up.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he's an anomaly. I mean, yeah, Robot, it's a really great facility. You know, Coach Tim is just, he's also a guy on another level too, you know.
He's a guru, man.
Yeah, he is. I mean, everything he does, every thought, every word he utters, every movement he makes has purpose, otherwise he just doesn't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I really look up to and respect him a lot, and he's done a lot for me as well, even though, you know, I'm not really in the jiu-jitsu program, but Yeah, Tim's an amazing guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, I live nearby as well. You know, I'm on the west side. I'm here in Palms Mar Vista, so I'm near you. You know, when I first started over there at Robot, I guess what I was missing was I just wanted more vigorous training partners to like to spar with and to train with, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's when David Huerta put his gloves on. I was like, hey, Charles, come over here for a second.
That's always an experience for anybody. Dude, sure.
I refer to it all the time. I refer to it a lot when I'm sparring. I recall that's, and I've only sparred with him once, and I'm using it all the time. Whatever happened during that sparring session, I still draw from it to this day regularly. So I definitely look forward to training with Huerta again when I get a chance to make it over to one of the afternoon classes. Hopefully I'll get a chance to run into you, because I think – what time of the day are you at Robot?
I'm usually there around noon class, but I'll pop in at nights once in a while, you know.
How do you folks do this? How do you guys do this noon class? Do you not have jobs?
Well, I work at a bar for most of my life, so I work nights.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to get out of the bar scene. It's not really healthy for my Muay Thai. There's a lot of stuff going on there, late nights and alcohol and such like that. But yeah, no matter what, though, I do really like the noon classes. I like the vibe, and I like getting my workouts out of the way, you know, and then having the day, and then I can work out, do my runs or whatever at night. But I really do enjoy the noon classes.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Do you consider yourself a fighter, a combatant, or an athlete?
Well, that's an interesting question. I grew up an athlete. I would, you know, played all the major sports, baseball, football, basketball. My first love was baseball. So, you know, I definitely was raised an athlete. I always grew up an athlete, but at this stage in my life, I think I'm able to turn my athleticism into being a fighter. So I would say a little bit of both, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting, because, you know, I'm still new to Muay Thai. I've only been training since February of 2015, something, the spring of 2015, really. I'm on the hunt for my first fight, so I'm looking forward to that. But
that's awesome,
yeah, it's great. But I fell in love with the sport, and I hear a lot of people, you know, refer to it as a sport, and I've definitely done my research, and we all know that Muay Thai was, you know, a weaponless, you know, system of warring. It was designed to, you know, to be deadly.
Right.
And I know what goes through my mind and my body and my heart when someone's hitting me hard, you know, and it's different from when I played football or when I played basketball or when I played hockey. I thought I was aggressive back then when I was playing those sports. But it's a different thing, and it's made me say, man, I wonder what's going on here. Is this a sport? You say, it's kind of somewhere between there, huh?
Yeah, I think, you know, you sharpen your skills, and you go through training regimens just the same you would with any other sport, baseball, football, basketball. And there's a certain component where you go about sharpening your skills the same way, and the dedication is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, when you get to the higher levels of the sport of Muay Thai, it looks like more of a sport, because they're more calm, they're more technical.
It's true.
But I think that's why they call it a combat sport, because there is that extra component of, oh shit, this guy's really trying to knock my head off. So there is that combativeness, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an image I have of you from Kelly 19 in that fight with Hernandez that I look at quite often. I like it a lot. Your mouth guard happens to, you know, be painted with some artwork of like teeth, like fangs. And you know, everyone says you're a nice guy. You look like a really normal, nice dude. But I have this image, this photograph of you where you're poised, you know, your feet are planted, and your right cross is in the locked and loaded position, and that mouthpiece and those fangs, and your eyes are squinted, and you look like a killer, man.
You know, a funny story behind that mouth guard is I had just lost my mouth guard, and I'm my little stepbrother, he's I forget his age, he's like 15 or 16. He just happened to have an extra mouth guard, and I grabbed it from him. That was his mouth guard; it wasn't even mine. And, yeah, so I just ended up. I kind of liked it, so I was like, "Yeah, I'll use it." I've just been using it ever since. But
that's cool, man. This mild mannered guy. Then I look. I was like, "Oh Jesus, did you see that? What is that? Whoa!"
I was like, yeah, this could work. I always liked the white mouthpieces too. I don't know what it is, clean, but and then it had the added fangs to it, you know.
Yeah, it works. It definitely works on you. So speaking of that, you know, do you feel like you have is there like a kill switch? You know, is there something, you know, when you're in there, you know, you're a nice dude. I mean, but is there a switch that goes off when you're not nice anymore? Or
I'm super mild mannered. I'm super calm and, you know, pretty quiet guy, pretty mild tempered guy. But when I'm in the ring, there's really no, you know, if there's a guy, even though I do refer to his sport, like I don't have any mercy as far as someone else trying to hurt me. I really have no emotion really. I'm just trying to take him out before he, you know, takes me out. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my mindset going into it.
Do you believe that that fighting is natural and everybody wants to do it whether they know it or not? Or do you think some people are kind of cut out for it and others not?
Yeah, I think it varies. You know, it depends on the person. Some people, I think it sparks interest in most people. You know, you always want to know if you can hold your ground or defend yourself. But yeah, it's just something in a lot of genes where it just, you know, it clicks and you have that fighter mentality or you don't, you know?
Yeah. Is your record 15 and are you 15 and 0?
14 and 0.
14 and 0 losses.
Yeah.
That's good, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a great record. Tell me this, man. I mean, have you had a rough time yet in the ring?
Yeah, I've been dropped a couple of times. My first time I got head kicked was a little surprise. Dropped me. I also, my first title fight, caught a spinning back fist, which I really dislike.
Yeah, those caught. I've tasted a couple of those. You don't even see them.
That's the thing. The ones you don't see, you know, they really get you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've had, you know, my trials, couple close calls for sure.
Close calls, but you've never, have you had one of those, Jesus, what am I going to do here? Have you had that situation where, okay, this is not working, that's not working, okay, wait a second, whoa, what am I going to do here? Or not really, you've yet to experience that.
Yeah, you know, I don't think my mind really works that way. I think the couple times I got caught, it was like, all right, I see you. And then I just kind of switch into, funny that I would say this, but like a robot mode where like I just a little bit sharper and just, you know, kind of tunnel vision after that. And then I tend to just start walking forward. And the first time I got dropped with that head kick, and it was actually a line fight, my first line fight. Mm-hmm. And, my mind just kind of went blank after that, and I was kind of just like a charging robot. Like, and you know, everything's kind of a blur in there. It's kind of hard to explain, but.
No, I think you've done well. No, that's.
I don't think that I've, you know, really panicked too much, which I think has saved me.
That's great. I think that's, yeah, I agree. I think that's quite poignant. I mean, that could be a part of your equation, you know?
Yeah.
Lion Fight, which, tell me about that experience. When did you fight Lion Fight? How long ago was that?
Lion Fight was maybe 2 years ago now.
Were you on the undercard or who'd you fight?
Yeah, I was on the undercard. Yeah. All the amateur fights on the undercard. It was an amateur pro
yeah.
card, obviously. Mm-hmm. That was like my first, my first real big event, which is kind of I saw people like Kevin Ross and TIE Fighter. I'm blanking on my name now, but it was actually cornering my opponent.
Gaston Bolaños? No.
No. It was honestly forget his name. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that had to be really cool, man. I mean, we all love Lion Fight. I mean, it's, you know, they're the top, they're the top of the pile with regard to Muay Thai promotions in the U.S. right now. Man, kudos to you for stepping into that ring. Tell me about the fight. Did you have a good time? I mean, how was that one? Or was it another day in the office for Lance?
Yeah, I mean, it was another day, but it was just it was special because, like I said, I just saw these world-class fighters, and I was fighting on the undercard, so it kind of, woke me up a little bit, inspired me a little bit, and it was just a cool experience, you know.
Do you have another Lion fight brewing in the future?
I hope so, yeah.
Well, I could have sworn I feel like I saw something on Facebook that said that you had a Lion fight coming up, and I was like, really?
No, nothing that I've heard of lately. Who knows what David Huerta has in store for me.
You never know. Well, Lion Fight, if Scott Kent or any one of you folks are listening, you're missing out. Lance Dixon is definitely a showcase to have in your ring. So if you get an opportunity, you make sure you get him in there so you can see some fireworks.
Yeah, well, I'd love to make it back to Lion Fight. I'm sure I will eventually.
Do you have a favorite fighter that you follow, that you look up to?
Yeah, I have a few. I think the first one that comes to mind is Bukow.
Yeah, me too. All of us, we love Bukow.
Yeah, Bukow, man. How can you not love him? Just his intense style. He throws everything hard, combined with, you know, amazing technique and experience. And just super exciting to watch. Another one, L.A. boy, Joe Schilling, who's just kind of a killer-be-killed mentality.
Yeah, he's a beast, for sure.
Almost always has exciting fights, so.
Yeah, he does, and he's not afraid to argue and push the ref. And
oh, yeah, man, yeah.
Yeah, he's cool. He's got a lot of love, man. He's got a lot of love in L.A. That's another place I've yet to make it over to the yard. I want to go over there and hang out with Natalie Killface and Joe Jeff and those guys.
Yeah. Mark cool Kimura. Guys. Everyone's real cool over there. But he kind of put LA on the map, and him and Can't Stop Crazy kind of put the United States Muay Thai on the map.
Yeah.
It's just, be something cool to follow up as the next generation of American NACMOYs, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, Muay Thai's growing. It sounds like you're in it for the long haul. So, you're loving this fighting thing. It's not a fad. It's not a phase for you. You plan on turning pro. Looks like you're going to be around for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the plan, man. I hope I can make a living out of it. I've had my doubts. I think every fighter has. Go through your tribulations and looking at how much money like professional Muay Thai fighters make. It's not a great living. Yeah. So it's a passion. And they say to always follow your passion. So I'm here for a while, man.
I'm right with you, man. I mean, like, I've met the greatest people, though, in this community, in this arena. Everybody's inspiring. They're totally awesome. Those guys over at Robot are great. And the family over at Team Victory and the folks at A4 Fitness. I mean, every gym that I've been to, every circle that I've crossed into, I've always had a good time. I've always met great men and women, and it's I think that's really keeps me around Muay Thai is just the quality of the people, you know.
Absolutely, that's one of the things that I really loved about the sport, and that kind of kept me from going off to doing things like MMA or boxing. It's just I really love, you know, the respect and the tradition of Muay Thai and what it's all about. And you know, got the chance to visit Thailand, Bangkok, and saw, you know, firsthand how they do it out there, and just really love the culture.
Yeah, that's great. What else is coming up for you, man, that we need to be looking out for? What's the next big thing for Lance Dixon?
Oh man, we're trying to figure that out. We have our eyes on some some worlds in Brazil in October. That's what I really want to do. It'd be a really good opportunity for me. But obviously, we're trying to find something before that. So we'll see. We have some things up in the air that we're working on. So we'll see what falls through. Hopefully, something soon.
Well, where can we follow you online so that when you do know what's up next, we'll already be following you? What are your social media links that folks should follow?
You can follow me on Instagram at Dance Lixon. It's literally just my last name initial mixed with my first letter of my first name.
Right on.
And then you can find me on Facebook also, Lance Dixon.
Dixon on Facebook and Dance Lixon on Instagram.
On Instagram, yes, sir.
Dance Lixon. I could say that three times. Thank you so much. Thanks for rapping with me, bro. I got goo gobs of respect for you, man. It was great to shoot your fight. It was great to see you fight. And I do look forward to touching gloves with you in the gym sooner or later. I'm glad that I'm in the robot program in the mornings and in the afternoon, so I will be able to come hang out. I look forward to that. You have a good rest of your night and heal that finger.
Yeah, I will. Cool, man. I'll see you soon. And I'll see you soon.
There you go. I'll see you soon, brother. Have a great night. Thanks for staying up with me.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right. Peace, Lance.
Bye.
Yes. So as you can see, Lance Dixon, super nice dude, totally chill. But when he gloves up and dons that Moncal on his head, something else comes out of Lance. I'm really glad he came on board and chatted with us. And I hope that you found his conversation as interesting as I did. At this juncture in the podcast, it is time to get into my second guest, Jamie Bradley from Sparta Triumph Muay Thai in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Midwest Strikers Series. Like I said, she is a trainer. She is a former fighter. She is a gym owner, and she is a promoter. She is a Muay Thai aficionado. She is passionate, and she is doing tons for the sport in an area of the country that it is not the simplest thing to do. She's got a lot to share. Without further ado, let's jump into the conversation with Jamie Bradley. Well, good morning.
Hi there.
Jamie Bradley, thanks a lot for jumping up early with me and taking this time.
Absolutely.
This was logical progression for me because the last person I spoke to recently was Ricardo Perez from Team Toro.
Right.
And another person that you're close to that I'm a big fan of is Jason Verdugo,
yeah,
a.k.a. Yayo. And that's kind of where I want to start with you, Jamie Bradley, because for me, you first jumped onto my radar way back when I was watching Line Fight 24. Luckily, because of Access TV, I get to watch it on my television, the best Muay Thai that I can, some of the best Muay Thai I can see on my television aside from WCK. You know, off topic really quick, do you get a chance, are you familiar with WCK Full Rules Muay Thai in your area?
We don't have that operating out here in the Midwest, but I mean, I am familiar with it. But
do you guys get to watch it on Fox Prime Sports, what's it called, Fox Sports Prime Ticket? Do you get to watch it?
I have not seen it.
Yeah, that's a bummer. That would be really cool because it's also really good Muay Thai. But watching Line Fight 24, watching it on television, Julio Pena and Jason Verdugo, that particular fight was just a really super electric fight, and it really made me fall in love with both of those guys, and I became instant fans after that fight. But one of the things that struck me was when Yayo went to his corner, the person in his ear was a woman. And that was the first time that I ever seen that. And of course, you know, between you and I, we both know that Muay Thai doesn't know anything about sex. It's just a combat sport, and whatever right. You're made of is what you're made of. But
definitely.
Yeah, but from our, you know, minuscule social, you know, platform here in this plane, it is interesting. And so it was interesting to me. So that's where I kind of want to start with you. Like, how did you become, you know, a trainer in a man's world, and you're on television at Lion Fight training? How does that even happen?
Sometimes I ask myself the same question. You know, Jason doesn't train out here in Indianapolis. He lives in Rhode Island, family in South Carolina. And actually, I watched him fight on Lion Fight, and it was a It was an awesome fight. I became a fan, and honestly, we just connected through social media. So he would, you know, reach out, and he would tell me who he was going to fight next, and I would look up some videos and kind of break the fighter down for him and tell him what sorts of things I was seeing and what I thought would be advantageous for him. So I was kind of like just providing him some remote coaching. I mean, he's kind of a nomad. He's been a lot of different places to train. And so then before his fight with Anthony Cropero, he came out to Indy and actually did his training camp with us. And so that was the first time that he and I got a full face-to-face training camp. And
how long was that camp?
Yeah, that one was about 10 weeks. So it was a good amount of time, opposed to this last one for Jafar was only about 5 weeks. So we didn't really have a lot of time to prepare for this last one. You know, that's the challenge is I wish he lived here in the Midwest, here in Indy, and he was in our gym regularly.
Because Yayo is in New York, correct?
Rhode Island is where he's actually from. Right. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, and that this last fight that you talked about where you only had 5 weeks to prepare, that was with the AKA the Cookie Monster?
Yeah, yes it was.
Yeah, I watched that one. Yayo he had his hands full with the Cookie Monster on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they gave us the name. I want to say maybe 3 weeks before the fight, 3 or 4 weeks before the fight is when we finally got Jafar's name. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, if you go online, he's all over the place. He's very accomplished. He was like, I don't know, 26 and something. I can't remember. You know, a pro debut with that much experience.
That much amateur experience.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Oh. So, it was. I knew it was going to be a tough fight for us. We knew he was going to use the teep. We practiced a lot of counters for the teep. Unfortunately, I felt like he never really settled in and gotten his groove.
I agree with that.
And then he just got caught with that spinning back fist. You know, but you learn. I've watched that video a lot of times. I've recognized, you know, how he caught the teep and didn't do what he needed to do to change distance. You know, he stayed right there as he released it, and he spun and caught him. Yeah. And so we've talked about that, but...
it's one of the reasons I like Verdugo, you know, because he's not he's an ever evolving story, you know. He's super electric, he's super fun. I mean, he's an extreme fighter for me. He's either all there or he's kind of not there. But he's never boring.
Right.
He always brings his heart no matter how his head is. If he's like, I'm killing you tonight, he's going to dance while he's doing it. If he's getting his ass kicked, he's like, kicking my ass, wait a minute, and he'll start dancing around and moving around there. He's like, fuck it, here's what I got here, I'm coming at it, you know. And he'll come at it with it, and I kind of saw that in that last fight. And you're right, he got caught. I was pulling for him, but I'm hoping that Verdugo gets back in the lion fight ring at some point and gets a chance to redeem himself there. They seem to like him there at that promotion. Yeah,
I think you know, exactly what you said. He's electric, he's a crowd pleaser. You know, that's exactly what brought me to him. I was like, man, this guy is fun to watch. And so, you know, at coaching him in the last two fights, that's kind of been some of our challenges. I don't want to take who he is as a fighter away from him, but he definitely has got to get more technical. Mm-hmm. And so that's that fine line of keeping the excitement and everything there while still being technical. And he's grown quite a bit in just the last two fights. And so, like you said, you know, I'm hoping he gets another shot. I think he'll continue to show he grows and is a better fighter.
I mean, Pat Miletich, whenever he calls a Verdugo fight, he talks about the very thing that you're talking about right now, right there in the moment. He talks about Jason's technicalities, his technique, his electricity, his flair, his color, when it's on and when it's off. So, and that's the kind of stuff that the sport needs, especially in this country. I mean, this country is a superstar-oriented country. That's the magical combination that made us all fall in love with the champ himself, Muhammad Ali.
Right.
You know, super technical, inventive, rope-a-dopes, and he was strong, but so much color, so much flair. Oh. Those are my kids. Okay, so then Jamie, what's your particular Muay Thai story? How did you first come into contact with the sport?
Yeah, I was I was at my first teaching job back in 2004, and
when you say teaching, what kind of teaching?
Yeah, I'm a teacher by I guess trade. Went to college, education degree major. So I was actually teaching physical education, health and wellness, and ironically, I was like the worst example of health and wellness as I was pushing 230 pounds on a, I'm probably exaggerating, stretching a little bit, 5'6" frame. But, wow. You know, I played sports in college, and basically I always joke that I continued to eat like a college athlete, but I stopped working out like one, and it caught up to me very quickly. Mm-hmm. So I found myself really unhappy. I was kind of miserable, and I kept passing this little gym that was kickboxing, free intro lesson, and every day I was like, oh, it'd be so cool to learn how to punch and kick some shit. That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. And then, so as a New Year's resolution in 2005, I walked through the door and I said, all right, let's see what this is about. And I fell in love with it. It's just, you know, it changed my body. It changed my heart, my mind, everything. It, you know, you can look at it from a workout perspective and you can look at it from an art perspective. And I think when you look at it from both perspectives, it is a very beautiful, life-changing thing.
You were a school teacher, a phys ed school teacher, teaching school, driving past a gym, and the itch started to itch, and you just finally scratched it. That is totally cool. Okay, so you start training. Take us from there. You start training. How do you end up where you are today, owning a gym, training, you know, world-class Muay Thai fighters?
Yeah, so 2007, I did some smokers in between 2005 and 2007, but 2007, I entered the IKF World Classic Tournament down in Florida, and I won that title, lightweight title, in 2007. 2008, I fought again, but, you know, one of my biggest regrets, but kind of my story about being a fighter and being a coach, I think the things that made me not a great fighter make me a good coach. So by nature, I lack confidence. And I remember that fight, 2008. I was fighting against a girl from England, and I remember thinking, who flies around the world to fight unless they are amazing, you know? And I got in there, and I lost. And afterwards, you know, she came up to me and was like, toughest fight I ever had. And I was like,
I could have done it.
Yeah, like it pissed me off because, like, she, you know, her perspective was toughest fight she's had, and my perspective is I didn't even fight. Like, I.
Right, because you beat yourself before the fight started.
Yeah, so.
And how are you using that today as a coach then?
Yeah, I think I will over prepare for things. You know, my lack of confidence drives me to be sure I have dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. And so I take very seriously, you know, really studying opponents, really breaking down my fighters, because I want them to be prepared and I want them to feel confident in their skills. And going in the ring that they know that I've done absolutely everything I can do to help prepare them, and they can be confident in that.
So you use your very own, some of your very own psychological aspects to inform the process of preparing your own fighters. Where in your career do you switch from fighting to training?
Yeah, so I, you know, 2008 was the last major tournament.
Was that the fight against the girl from England?
It was, yeah. So
now you have not fought since then?
No, I did. I fought in 2014.
Wow. Oh, man. So, yeah, you're still at it.
Well, not currently, because I've had 3 knee surgeries since that fight in 2014. But, yeah, so the coach that I was with through all of this, my beginnings, you know, he really didn't enter us in anything, and there wasn't really much of a local scene at the time, but those were the opportunities that he felt comfortable with and put us in. And so You know, I regret not having a more active kind of amateur fight career. But so I continued to train, and then I probably left that gym 2012 maybe.
Yeah.
Because I had just moved to the other side of Indianapolis, and it was like it was a drive, and I was doing things in my teaching career. I was a head softball coach at the high school. I was just juggling a lot of things, and I couldn't commit the time to the training, so I kind of bowed out of that gym. And so there was about a year that I wasn't really with anyone, any team, any gym. And a friend of mine approached me and said, you know, I'm starting a gym and I want you to be the coach. And I laughed and I said, yeah, right. I said, I'm not qualified. And, you know, frankly, men don't want to learn from a girl. I don't believe men want to have a female coach. And he said, I think you are absolutely wrong on all accounts.
Yeah.
And he asked me, I don't know, a handful of times, and I said no every time. And then there was one point that, you know, there were some other names that he was talking about coaching, and I thought, you know, like these people are not more qualified than I am, other than their gender was
right.
What I was basing it on.
Right.
As far as what they had achieved or their experience, deep down I believed that I was just as knowledgeable and just as qualified. So I was like, you know, all right, let's do this thing. So in 2013 is when I made that shift to coaching.
Nice.
And yeah, so I coached, and then I decided 2014 was a rough year for me personally, and I decided that I needed to take a fight. I needed to push and test myself. So it was kind of the outcome of a couple things. One, going through some personal struggles, but two, I also felt like running my own program and coaching, I needed to step into the ring for my fighters and my own members to see.
Sure.
And so I got back in the ring, 2014,
and this is why I love Muay Thai. This is good stuff, girl.
So I got in, and, I'm trying to think of, I can't even think of the promotion's name right now. It was in Oklahoma, Full Rules Muay Thai. And, I fought Robin McMullen from Canada, and she was the reigning champ. And, it was awesome. I mean, we got in there, crew Bob Perez was one of the judges, and after the fight, no, I lost to her. After the fight, he had come up to me and he told me that he scored me winning the first round, that I really utilized my boxing, but then she adapted and she started clinching, and she was just significantly better in the clinch.
Yeah.
And, you know, she had a phenomenal elbow that came down and bloodied my nose, and I remember clear as day, because it really was the first dramatic, like, bloody nose I'd had. I remember being in the ring near the end, and I'm thinking, man, my nose is running. This is such a strange time to have a runny nose. And I took my glove and I wiped my nose, and there was blood all over my glove. And I was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Totally.
Like, I remember that moment. It was so surreal. I was like, this is awesome.
Oh, man. That is awesome. Yeah, they make good fighters up in Canada, no doubt, for sure. Wow. Yeah, that is, man, that's a great story. And so, yeah, you were ready to just pack it up and go home and get back on the gym and keep making fighters then, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
Like I said, I've had knee surgeries after that. You know, there's that part of me, I think, you know, when you're a coach and a fighter, you always want to keep stepping in and testing your skill set. I'm also 35. The last knee surgery was ACL reconstruction, so there's still quite a bit of trepidation for me about whether or not my body could handle,
sure,
you know, a fight career at this point. But I sure as hell love the training for it, because there is nothing like it. So.
Yeah, to your very point, it's difficult to train and study an art, a thing like this, and spar, and not get the opportunity to actually take a test run and get in the water and feel what it's like and see what you are made of. And yeah, there's some deeper stuff too. This guy David Dida, I'm about to do some research on this guy David Dida, who seemingly does some talkings about, he's a big philosopher on masculine and the feminine energies, and he talks about combat being an actual place where the masculine is an expression of masculine love, which obviously masculine, you know, takes form in both women and men. So yeah, you know, that's maybe that's what's going on with all of us. So that thing that people see out there with, you know, two individuals bludgeoning one another is actually in nature an expression of love.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it ties right into, you know, the respect that's rooted in Muay Thai. You know, when you appreciate your opponent and really recognize that it is not them, you know, it is I'm testing my own skill set and they are just the mirror that's reflecting to me.
Totally.
You know, where I'm at.
Yeah. I love watching fights. You know, a lot of times I shoot a lot of fights as well. And so looking at the fighters through my camera lens, especially my long lens, I can see the emotion and the expressions on their faces. And it is one of the most beautiful things when I'm clicking shots of a fighter and you can see the wincing from being hit in the gut and kicked in the leg. And then the very next expression is an actual grin at his or her opponent and a grin back. And then another wince.
Great.
I mean, that is what's going on in there. So, folks, if you've yet to get in the ring or get in the gym and do some training, get your butt in there and get you a piece of this magic that we're talking about here. This is why we love Muay Thai.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things I always say in class to all of my students is, you know, Muay Thai has revealed the best and worst of me to myself. And I would talk to them about how, you know, you'll be in class and you'll be nailing something and you start to get this idea that, man, I got it and I'm so good and I'm awesome. And then all of a sudden you get hit and it hurts and it's hard. And all of a sudden you start to question everything about your life.
Wait a minute.
What am I doing here?
Exactly.
But that's Muay Thai for me. I mean, it will ground you and it will bring you gifts, you know, on the opposite side of it as well.
That brings me right to my next big question. You know, I'm from Chicago as well. I'm out in Los Angeles now. I'm really curious, what is the Midwest Muay Thai scene like? What's it like there in Indianapolis for you?
Yeah, so that's kind of, you know, when I started coaching last year, I made a transition into kind of being a promoter in trying to provide legitimate opportunities for fighters. There's a gazillion MMA promotions out here, and you know, I can't be mad at all the fighters for jumping on that train because that's what's out here. But we lacked opportunities for Muay Thai. There's some kickboxing promotions, but again, it is developing. We are still significantly behind the coasts, obviously, but it is growing. I think a lot of people in the Midwest, you know, are catching that fever, are getting into it, and it's growing. You know, Ricardo and I are working together to put a promotion on April 29th.
Yes.
And so we look to do a lot more of those. You know, if we can get something going regularly, that would be the goal. You know, in where you're at, California, you could find a show and a card every weekend. We're not that fortunate out here. But if we can get it going every month, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think monthly is good. Now, are you Farang Fight League or are you Midwest Muay Thai?
Yeah, so Midwest Muay Thai, Midwest Striking Series. So we're kind of merging. He had the Farang Fight League up in Chicago or Michigan, where he did all his shows, and
who is the person behind Farang Fight League?
Ricardo.
That's him.
He had another business partner at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So then, and I was running mine alone, and I lost some money. We'll say it was from a business perspective, it was not a good investment for me. I did two shows last year, and I lost some money, a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. I was a promoter back in the 90s. I totally get it.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the challenge is you want to provide these legit opportunities for fighters, but you also can't afford to throw money away. So Ricardo and I are hoping to figure out a way that we can do, you know, great shows and not lose money. Neither of us are in it for the money. Obviously, we're in it for the love of Muay Thai and for giving, you know, fighters in the Midwest, great opportunities.
Well, as gym owners too, I mean, if you want to talk long haul, you know, are we in it for the money? I mean, you know, you've got to cultivate your own scene. If the fight promotions can garner more interest, more fighters, more fight fans, well, those fight fans and fighters are going to end up going to the gyms.
Right.
And that's where you and Ricardo already are. So yeah, it can definitely be reciprocal. Yeah, you know, I was talking to a bunch of friends of mine. I have a few friends there back in Chicago who own gyms, and I asked them about some of their challenges, and they were like, yeah, you know, it's a little tough in the Midwest. You know, we have the seasons, so attendance is kind of seasonal. You know, some of the folks, they say they really want to work hard, and you get them in the gym, and I might work for a few days, and then you don't see them for a week or two, and then they come back, and so in the Midwest, I'm wondering, is it a Midwest mentality? Are you finding that with your students? Here, let me be direct. Could you end up scaring some of your own students away, working them too hard, or?
it does exist. Everything that you just said, there is seasonal members. But what's funny is I and my friends know this, that I am very much, a quote that I'll use all the time is, I'll believe it when I see it. And if I had a dollar for every person that told me they were going to come into the gym and every person that told me they wanted to be a fighter, you know, what's kind of funny going back to Yayo, Jason Verdugo, is, you know, he told me he was coming out and I laughed. I was like, yeah, he's totally never going to show up, you know, because that's right. What everybody does. Everybody says they're going to do something and they don't do it. And then he was like, coach, pick me up at the airport. I was like, well, shit. Okay, you're here.
Wow.
But that is true. That it's kind of, you know, it's an interesting balance between the people in the gym coming in for fitness and the people coming in to fight.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. And folks, just so you know, I mean, both reasons are just as valid. I mean, you don't have to fight to love Muay Thai and for Muay Thai to give to you what it has waiting for you. You don't have to be a fighter for that. You can do it just for fitness. You can do it for camaraderie. You can do it for companionship. You can do it to fill the void. You can do it to just challenge yourself. I mean, yeah, you don't have to be a fighter. And if you do want to be a fighter, well, then there you go. There's just all, and even that has its own degrees. You don't have to, you know, try to become a big pro. You can just, you know, if you do two fights in a calendar year and they're just smokers, I mean, it can really, one fight, folks, is a lot.
Right.
you learn quite a bit in there, you know? Yeah, that's interesting. One of the other things, you know, you sent me a couple of great pictures, which of course will be in the blog post. I love the black and silver Midwest Muay Thai shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've kind of launched the Midwest Muay Thai in an effort to unite Muay Thai in the Midwest, because, you know, when I first started coaching in 2013, I had reached out to some various gyms, and everybody was, you know, kind of like, ooh, I don't know, you know, I think there's fear. I think that, you know, in California, gyms are a dime a dozen on every corner, and in the Midwest, they're not, and I think there's a lot of fear about, we're all competing for students. And when I actually went out and trained with Crew Alex Palma, you know, I asked him about that. I said, you know, you have people that coach in your gym and train other places, or they cross train, and, you know, how does that work? And he was like, yeah, it's, you know, you got to do that, and everybody knows where home is. And so
yeah,
I really believe that we're going to go further if we work together, which is really kind of the premise to trying to create this brand. Yes, I'm completely copying off of West Coast and East Coast Muay Thai, and with the branding of Midwest Muay Thai, but we've got to pull together if we're going to take this to the next level.
No, I totally agree. It is different. You're right. I mean, you know, they're different waters. I just spoke with a good friend of mine, Dino Spencer, from the world famous Fifth Street Gym down in Miami, and he had a great quote in our conversations where he compared owning and operating gyms to McDonald's. There's a reason he says that McDonald's is on the same corner as Burger King. That healthy competition just helps. That's why you see four gas stations on the same corner. It's the same deal. I cross train a lot. I have a home gym, but I do cross train. And when I'm at other gyms, Robot Fight and Fitness, the Thai Boxing Institute, or Muay Thai America Gym, wherever I'm at, those gyms are incredible. The groups of people there are incredible. The sparring is incredible. The coaches are incredible. And yeah, folks, Jamie's right. You know, I'm really hoping, you know, being out here on the West Coast and also being a proponent, being from the Midwest, I'm really hoping that we can see some cross promotion happen. Some, you know, where four or five fighters are going from the coast out to the Midwest and vice versa. Maybe if we bring some fighters from the Midwest out west, and you know, capture enough media around it and bring it back to the Midwest. I don't know. I feel like sometimes, like when you leave the Midwest, go to the coast, and then you come back, it's like, ooh, he or she's been to the coast, and it helps your, I don't know, kind of helps your brand there. Or maybe it's the other way around. What do you think?
Definitely. I mean, experience is key. And I think, you know, we got great fighters out here. And I think, though, to kind of be taken serious, we have to start to put these fighters to the test. So we do need to try to get on the same cards, same promotions, whether that's Lion Fight or any other card on a coast, and really start to show that we have quality and we want to go toe-to-toe with other solid fighters. So I think that will help build it as well.
Yeah, no, I totally agreed. I mean, I loved one of the videos that I saw in the early instances of the Farang Fight League. They put together a really great video. I thought it was really cool. You know, it's a good thing that we bring up. I mean, social media and media is they're powerful in this day and age. The relationship with you and Yayo was born of social media. You and I talking right now, we've never met, folks. I've never met Jamie Bradley in person. We only know each other through this Muay Thai scene, and we've been able to connect through social media. So yeah, shooting videos and shooting pictures and telling stories of what we're doing is the way to inform other people about this doorway into Muay Thai. And there's so much to be found, folks. Don't get it twisted. Muay Thai is not the same as MMA. It's a beautiful art form, and all those sports are beautiful sports as well. But, you know, I just happen to be a Muay Thai purist, and I found so much in it, just as you have. And just like eating at a fine restaurant, I just want other people to yeah. come eat here too, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So wrapping it up so you can get to the gym. I know you've got classes. What big next is coming up in your calendar that we need to look out? I know you've got the April 29th thing. Let us know about that, and let us know what else we need to be looking out for in the world of Jamie Bradley and Sparta Muay Thai.
Yeah. So April 29th is the next big event on our calendar. Really just trying to get our footing and start to offer regular cards out here in the Midwest. Obviously trying to do some things with Midwest Muay Thai, kind of creating a brand that fighters out here will buy into and rep and work together. You know, I have this vision of this community, because a lot of different gyms are bringing in great people for seminars, but it's in isolation. It's only geared to the people in their gym. So if we would create this community and forum, you know, we could get that word out there and we all stand to benefit. So really trying to build that. Mm-hmm. My personal brand, my own brand, Crew Fit, trying to kind of do some things with that.
Yeah.
You know, based on the idea that my passion is teaching other people about fitness. So be that my first love is through Muay Thai, but you know, there's so many misconceptions about nutrition and exercise as well. So really just trying to help people achieve their own goals.
Give me the two links that we can, so we can, where we can follow the fight and where we can follow the fitness.
Yeah, so crewfit.org is kind of home base for everything fitness related, the generalization of who I am, what I do. And then spartamuaythai.com is the other link that's got information about promotions. You know, I've actually left the Sparta gym, and so that's not necessarily current anymore. But that's, you know, that's more information, maybe a different time, about learning to brand yourself and anchored with a physical building and all of that. But I'm learning as a coach, as a promoter, as a fighter. Obviously, everything's about learning. So
yeah, no, you're learning, but you're teaching, Jamie Bradley. You're doing a lot. I mean, I tip my hat to you. You're in a unique position that you've created, and you're doing unique things with unique people. You're working with Jason Verdugo, who's totally not an average. He's nothing that he does is average. Nothing that he does is regular. And it sounds like nothing you do is average or regular. And, you know, I'm super happy for you. I'm super proud of what you're doing. If you guys can explore broadcasting those fights on the web, that can help. We can all get behind sharing those links to those fights so that other folks can watch them on the coasts as well as your own community around the Midwest. Those who didn't show up at the fight, maybe when they, if they could watch it online, and if you guys can shoot those fights and share some of these stories with people. I mean, the bottom line is if you build it, they'll come. I mean, if the shit is good, people are going to want to come. People just don't know. They just don't know yet.
Right.
I always make this joke that if Jesus comes to save the world, but it's not advertised, if it's not marketed well, no one will know that Jesus is here, you know? So,
yeah.
So even the saving of all mankind needs good marketing, you know?
Advertising.
Yeah, you got to market it. So, yeah, thanks a lot for jumping on with me. I'm looking forward to keeping up with what you're doing at Crew Fit and in the world of Muay Thai. And I can't wait to finally embrace and shake your hand. Let's keep doing this thing, yeah?
Thank you so much. We appreciate your support and just, you know, obviously what we're doing here in the Midwest, but for Muay Thai all over, you are helping to create that awareness and get that information out there. So I just thank you for what you're doing. And best of luck in your fight coming up.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll do great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. If whoever I'm across the ring from, I'm going to have a lot of love for him. And if he comes out victorious that day, then he's definitely going to have earned it. So it's all good.
I love it. Love it.
All right. You get to your class, and I'll talk to you again soon, Jamie Bradley. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, yes, we have made it together through yet another episode of the Teep This podcast. Again, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. Just do a simple search in your podcast players for Teep This, and we will pop right up. I do appreciate any reviews or any feedback that you can leave. It does help the podcast's ranking within the never-ending abyss of content on the web. You can always hit teepthis.com/podcasts to check out the entire library of podcasts that we have there. Leave your comments or questions on the website as well. I'll get right back to you. Or send an email to yo@teepthis.com. Look for the next episode of the podcast, episode number 5, to be right on time, May 1st at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or Google Play. And when the podcast is released, it will automatically update in your podcast player. And you won't even have to chase us around. We'll come to you. So once again, thanks a lot for tuning in. Live well, laugh much, love often, and train hard. Sawadee ka.